For those who may not know who I am, my name is Will, which I mean is most of you. Most of you probably do not know who I am, and that's totally cool. And I am the co-youth pastor at a church called Ebenezer Baptist Church. But that is not super important, so that's whatever. But before we dive into what we're really going to talk about, I just want to share a bit about who I am. So, the first is this. This is my lovely fiance, Emma. Say, aw.
Aww.
You didn't have to say that, but oh, she's so beautiful. She's awesome. She's a great, awesome lady. She's my fiance. Super cool. And I got a super cute dog named Luna.
Aww.
Yeah. Let's zoom in on this. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's super cute. Oh, I love her so much. Yeah. So, that's my super cute dog named Luna. And then another fun fact about myself is I've never eaten a potato chip in my life. That's a real fact. That's not cap. Never eaten one. Ask my mom. I'll take questions after. Okay. No, that's not happening. Okay, so never eat a potato chip. Have a lovely dog, and I have a lovely fiance. So that's just a bit about me. And so that's enough about that, but we're going to be talking about something pretty heavy today. And that is, do all religions lead to God? So just by a show of hands, who's thought about this topic before? Okay, everyone, like I thought. And by show of hands, who has formed an opinion on this topic? Okay, about half of us. Well, I hope we can get to some good places today, and that will be awesome. But for right now, I'm going to ask you this. First off, welcome to Youth Quig for the second day. How's it been so far?
Great.
Great.
Okay, and I'm gonna say 3, 2, 1, and you're gonna yell out your favorite part. Bring it in, man. You're gonna yell out your favorite part about Youth Quig somewhere, okay? Ready? 3, 2, 1. I feel like I heard Will's seminar. That's pretty awesome. Let's go. I'm just joking. Chatting with Chad is pretty cool. I really like Chatting with Chad. He's a cool guy. So, awesome. So, right now, for today, this is what we're gonna do. We're going to evaluate the question, do all religions lead to God? Okay? And we're going to evaluate this question with each religion, going through each world religion, with fairness. I cannot promise you today that I'm going to be unbiased. No one is unbiased. We all come with a bias some way, somehow. But what I can tell you, with lots of study and thinking about other religions, I'm going to be as fair as possible to each religion, and I'm going to come to a conclusion based on the study. How's that sound? Cool.
Good.
Awesome. And so, whether or not you disagree with my conclusion, I want you, as long with myself, to come at this with a humble posture, okay? And so, the last thing, before we dive in and we pray before we start, is I want you to think and ask the questions that you have about this topic. So I'm going to give you some time after I'm done teaching for a Q&A, and then we're going to wrap up after, but we're going to do a Q&A where you can bring your questions that you have to the table. So while I'm speaking, think about the questions you have already. Think about the questions, maybe some things I bring up, and maybe that makes you, well, what about this? So think about questions, okay? I really want you to encourage you to do that. It'll be really helpful, and if you do ask good questions, we can get to some real places. So that'd be pretty cool. And so, as I talk, think about the questions you have. So, now before we really dive in, let's just join our hearts in prayer. So sorry, bow our heads. Jesus, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. And I pray, Lord, just as we're here at Youth Quig, that as we're just diving in to having so much fun and just doing a lot of different learning, especially about the prodigal son, I just pray, Lord, that you will reach into our lives today. And I pray specifically for the seminar that we're able to evaluate each world religion and that we're able to come to a good consensus, a place where we're able to think well and better. And God, I just pray over just how I speak and communicate, that it comes with passion, with humility, with grace, and that is able to be delivered into each and individual heart here in this crowd today, God. So we thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that in order for me to be the most effective, I pray you make me less so that, God, you could become great. So I pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Okay. Do all religions lead? Wow, there's lots of people. Bring it in, man. Do all religions lead to God? So you see, there are 195 countries in this world. And considering that people are different province by province, have you ever noticed that? That people from every province are a little bit different? You notice that? It's kind of interesting. But considering that people are different by province proves to show that people are so much different country to country. And a major flaw that we come with when we ask the question, do all religions lead to God, is we assume that everyone sees the world in the same way that we see the world. Does that make sense? But doing this will lead us to a great deal of miscommunication and confusion. So the reality is, do all religions lead to God is a question that actually fits really well into a Canadian context. We're taught in North America, mostly Canada and the USA, that religious truth is about perspective, right? When someone asks the questions, do all religions lead to God, we always come with two major assumptions when we ask the question. The first is this. The first assumption is that this question assumes that all religions teach that God exists when we ask this question. The second is, this question assumes that the goal of all religions is to reach God. So with that said, we're going to explore every world religion, compare them with these two assumptions that we're coming in with, and we're going to draw some thoughts and conclusions coming out of it. How's that sound? Cool. Right on. So, let's start with the first world religion, and that is Hinduism. So, Hinduism is a religion that teaches that there are a multiple amount of gods, and that they come in different ways and forms. But with all these gods, there is one supreme reality called Brahman. Can everyone say Brahman?
Brahman.
Cool. So what's really interesting about Brahman is he is also personified as various gods, but yet he is one reality. Does that make sense? The human predicament about Hinduism is that no one is automatically aware of divine nature until a Hindu person is aware of their unity with the divine gods. Until that, though, they'll be stuck in the cycle of karma and in reincarnation. So that basically means that you're going to be continued to be reborn after death. So although Hinduism appears to teach that gods or Brahman exist, Hinduism teaches that these impersonal forces are not like humans at all. I want you to note that. Hinduism does not reach our first assumption that God exists in the way that we perceive God. Hinduism also does not try to reach or to lead to God. The goal of Hinduism is for people to merge into the oneness of Brahman, where our unique individuality as humans disappears. So there is no being led to God. And so, there's also no afterlife in Hinduism. After that, it doesn't qualify to the second question of the goal being led to God. So that's Hinduism in a nutshell. And the next is Buddhism, the religion I grew up knowing. Buddhism is an interesting religion because it was actually a religion that began with following with Hinduism, but it reformed away from Hinduism, and it started its new religion, and it was by a man named Siddhartha. He's commonly known as Buddha. Do you guys all know who Buddha is? Cool, or at least you've heard of him. Buddhism doesn't teach that God exists. But what Buddhism does teach is an ultimate reality called the Force. You guys know, like, the Force from Star Wars? It's kind of a little bit like that, you know? But the best way that a Buddhist monk would describe the Force is like an ocean, okay? So people will develop negative vibes and energy, and essentially it will be a wave driven by its desire, right? And so, essentially, when we have more negativity, so will that wave grow, right? It'll become like a big storm wave, okay? So then, once we grow positivity and we can reach peace, the ocean will calm. And that's how the Force works, like the ocean. And so, essentially, Buddhism does not try to reach God, but it actually tries to reach a state of ultimate good and peacefulness, where we have no waves of negativity, but rather we try to tame our waves and to come out with ultimate peace and calmness. So, everything finishes at that. For Buddhism, once you've reached that state of peacefulness, hopefully, you just cease to exist. That's Buddhism. The next we're going to move on to is Islam. Islam, out of all world religions, I think we tend to compare the most with Christianity. The most. But we're going to explore what Islam is trying to accomplish in their world religion. You see, the message of Islam is simply this. Mankind is to submit to the will of Allah and will face judgment after death where we will weigh our good and our bad deeds. And then he will decide the person's fate. Islam holds the first assumption that God exists, although not a personal God. Islam, as I just said, refers to their God as Allah. But Allah does not reach the second assumption that it is the goal to reach him. Allah is holistically different than humans and is therefore unattainable and cannot be reached by humans. Even the famous prophet Muhammad, who penned the Quran, he wrote the Quran, he needed an angel mediator to communicate with Allah. This meaning that the goal of Islam is an afterlife, but it's not heaven. On this afterlife in Islam, it's where one receives an earthly paradise and gets all the earthly riches and stuff like that, where the best people who have done the most good deeds will get the most human pleasures. Does that make sense? Cool. But note this. Although an afterlife is an, although the afterlife is an earthly paradise near Allah, Allah is not going to be a part of this earthly paradise, according to Islam. You got to note that. Allah is wholly unattainable, and so therefore he cannot be there. Right? And so humans, according to Christianity, are made in the image of God. In Islam, this can't be possible because Allah has to be away when we're in that earthly paradise. So, that is Islam, because that's what it is. And so is scientism. Sorry, I did not follow my notes on that one. Scientism. Scientism isn't per se a religion and how we think about religion. But if we ask someone, what do you believe, man? And they say, well, I believe in science. This would likely be scientism. Scientism teaches that there is no God, therefore God cannot be reached. So a no to our first and second assumption that we were exploring. Scientism tells us that reality is only in this physical world. There is nothing spiritual about this world. There is no heaven. There is nothing outside of the things we can observe with the five senses. To see, to hear, to smell, to taste, and to touch. It's the common belief by scientism. But with enough time, science alone will answer every question about the universe. And everything about human life, because humans are here by chance. And life at its best is an accident. Like Hinduism and Buddhism teaches, scientism teaches that being a person is an illusion. And once we die, we cease to exist, and there'll be nothing outside of life on Earth. And now, we're going to move on to Judaism. I would say out of all the world religions, Judaism is actually the most interesting and hardest to make sense of. And this is because Judaism has gone through very drastic changes over the course of its religion life. And so, as we know, the Bible consists of the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? Judaism essentially knocks off the Old Testament. And they believe that also this one other canonical thing called the Talmud. The Talmud are four ethical books for Jews to live in society. But you gotta note, they do not believe in the New Testament. So Judaism kind of formed into three different branches. Currently, it's Orthodox Judaism, Conservative Judaism, and Reform Judaism. Orthodox Judaism believes that God exists and he can be reached. But they do not believe Jesus is the Messiah, nor do the rest of the branches. Conservative Judaism holds to an impersonal God who would never be reached, and Reform Judaism holds to a God concept. Interestingly, most of Judaism today is an ethnic and cultural heritage rather than a belief in God. Most people who refer to being in one in Judaism would consider themselves agnostic, which means they either do not believe in God or they do. It's kind of in the middle. But the biggest difference between true Judaism and Christianity is people who truly believe in Judaism believe that a Messiah is still coming. Christianity believes he has come and his name is Jesus, which leads us to our final world religion, Christianity, the one you might be a bit more familiar with. Christianity is the continuation and the fulfillment of Old Testament Judaism. Christianity teaches that Jesus was predicted over 270 times to come to this earth and to show us what he would do on this earth. Christianity teaches that God exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the key tenet to Christianity, and you cannot miss this, is that Jesus is the Son of God, and he was the Messiah that the Old Testament Jews were waiting for. And specifically, through his death and resurrection on the cross, we are saved from our sin. And through Jesus, one is washed clean and made right before God. Jesus, according to Christianity, provided the way to have a relationship with God. Christianity teaches that God reached out to all people through Jesus who came as a human man to make relationship with us, even though he was God. The result of someone believing in what Jesus has done for them is life forever with God in the same place called heaven. Christianity fundamentally teaches that God exists. And it fundamentally teaches that the literal goal of Christianity is to be led towards God. So with all these religions, I'm going to suggest to you that Christianity is the only religion that plainly attempts to answer the question, do all religions lead to God? In the sense that it is saying, we are trying to lead to God. Outside of a Judeo-Christian worldview, which means origins in Judaism or Christianity, no other religion attempts to even answer what we're thinking about. So, that's the journey for the world of religions. Was that a lot? Yeah, it was a lot. And so we're going to keep going, but why don't you just stand up for a second? We need a little bit of a breaky break, you know? Yeah. Okay, breaky break. So what you're going to do? Listen to me. You're going to put your hands up in the air. And you're going to wave like you just don't care. You're going to say, wow. That's all. You can sit down.
Cool.
Okay, let's divulge the attention back up to here, please. So, you might be thinking, well, so what, man? You just gave us a bunch of info, and you didn't even answer which religion was true. And that's a fair question, because we're going to be doing that now. So, sometimes, in our Western culture, we like to think of religions as equally true. I kind of mentioned that at the start, didn't I? And so, we might want to think that there is a such thing as climbing up Truth Mountain. Imagine it like this, like a nice little Truth Mountain, where we're all on a different path, but we're leading up the same mountain, right? Sometimes that's, I think, how we commonly think of religion. Where we're all up our pace, but we're all going to eventually reach up the top if we're very good and nice. But don't we all want to think that all religions might lead to truth or God? You know, thinking that all religions lead to God sounds nice at glance. Everyone could go to heaven, but at their own pace. But when we look at this closely, this doesn't actually work because truth by nature is exclusive. I'm going to say that again. Truth by nature is exclusive. I'm going to tell you this. Not everything's true. All religions clearly tell us that they are the best way to live, and most do not even teach that God exists, and definitely that he cannot be reached. So, if all religions are trying to seek to accomplish very different things, there can be no such thing as a mountain to climb, because not all religions are even trying to climb the mountains. But what about someone who says, well, your religion is true for you, and my religion is true for me? What do we say to that? I kind of like to imagine it this way. What if someone told you that the flu wasn't real? It was like an illusion of some sort. And you'd be like, dude, come on. Like, I disagree with you. That's so false. And they say, well, that's the truth for me. That's the truth for you. Well, that's not true. It's an impossible claim to have. But you see, all religions are claiming to be true because truth is exclusive by nature. And only one religion can be true at the end of the day. And I want to make the claim that we're at high stakes. And we have to be investigators of the truth. And I want to suggest to you that walking through these world religions briefly, that Christianity is unique among other world religions. I'm going to give you three reasons for this. The first is Christianity's uniqueness of Jesus claiming to be the author of life, claiming to be God. When we read the four accounts of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to find that Jesus was really unique among anyone else in human history. Jesus taught with authority, for example. For instance, in Matthew 7, 28-29, as it says in the slides, Jesus gives a famous teaching called the Sermon on the Mount, and he ends the sermon where it says this. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. If we notice closely, Jesus taught with real authority, unlike the other religious teachers. Jesus even says it in the Gospel of John like this. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. You see, what is different about Jesus, he just wasn't a messenger on behalf of God. He was God. For example, I'm not God, so I point to him and not me. But Jesus pointed to himself when he taught. Jesus spoke as if he was the author of life. No other man with such influence started a 2.3 billion person movement that centers around his death and resurrection on the cross. I want you to think about that. You see, in John 14:6, Jesus claimed to be the exclusive way to life, and some might find this an arrogant claim. But we all know that God's too good for us. We don't deserve God's grace, and Jesus freely offers that grace to us. The question, like I said, do all religions lead to God, is a firm no, because they're not trying. But what is unique about Christianity is that it's about a way of centering around one person. Christians say that it's all about Jesus, because Jesus claimed to be God. He claimed to be the author and the narrator of life. Everything in Christianity hinges on one person, and that's Jesus. Andy Steiger, a person I used on a resource for when I was thinking about this book, he says this in on a really awesome quote. He says this, if you guys want to follow along on the screen. Steiger says, first, Jesus made it very clear that all religions can't lead to God. Rather, he said alone that he's the way to salvation, because through him, God reached us. Jesus did not describe a world in which we are climbing the same mountain, but rather he said we're descending from the same purpose. The Bible began with people living in relationship with God. Adam and Eve were living for the purpose that they were created for until evil entered the world and separated all of mankind from God. Essentially, we start from the top, but we've been following top of the mountain and have been following ever since. And so I want to make a second point. Although Jesus does claim to be the way to life, the only way to life, God desires all of us to be saved. He wants all of your hearts. Contrary to any other world religion in this world, the God of Christianity wants your heart. 2 Peter 3:9 says it this way. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but instead he's patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, Christianity is the only religion that teaches that Jesus wants all of you to be saved, and for all of you to enjoy God forever in order that we could glorify him. Jesus fundamentally challenged all systems of religion. You see, the way to eternal life isn't the eightfold path, the four noble truths, the five pillars of action, six articles of belief, all systems of salvation taught by world religions. But Jesus, who is God, came down to this earth to show us that true life comes through him in a relationship. And I want to make one more point, the third point, that I think makes Christianity unique and special. And this is a really weird point, okay? And it's actually the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2. You see, every single religion has an origin story in how our world was created, right? And what's so unique here is that the creation story in Christianity is very unique compared to other world religions. It's for three reasons, okay? Three reasons why. The first is everything that God makes is good. Every other religion does not have a world where everything was meant to be good. In fact, all other world religions teach that everything was made out of utter chaos. Only Christianity teaches that when God made the world, it was good. And it wasn't until us humans came and disobeyed God to mess that up. And number two, it's the only story in which women are made in the image of God. Every other world religion believes women are lesser beings than men. In fact, usually women are made by mistake according to other religions, but not for a purpose as Christianity teaches. Christianity teaches that women are equal to men and are also made in God's own image. No other religion's creation story seems to have room for that. And then the third point, God gives us a day off in the creation story of Christianity. It's called the Sabbath. Every other world religion sees human as people are to work, and our value isn't found on what we can do, how many good deeds we could do for him. But what's interesting is that the God of Christianity says that our value is not found in what we can do for God, but rather it's about who we are. And God values us so much more than the work that we can do for him. So, the three points. Christianity's uniqueness of Jesus claiming to be the author of life, God desiring all to be saved, and Christianity's creation story. And with those three points, I myself can be confident that no other religion leads to God, but Jesus does. But the religion I personally adhere to is Christianity because of its uniqueness to point to Jesus. You see, Jesus is so much different than other religious teachers. He has to be much more than that. Anyone know who C.S. Lewis is? Put your hands up if you know C.S. Lewis. That's a good amount. Get it. Okay. Well, C.S. Lewis has like one of the most famous quotes he ever says. I just want to read it out here for you guys. So just take this in. Lewis says famously, "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him," meaning Jesus. "I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I do not accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said could not be a great moral teacher. He, Jesus, would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who said he's a poached egg or the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut Jesus up for a fool. You can spit at him. You can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He's not left that open to us. Jesus, he did not intend to." Pretty wild quote. But here's the point. Jesus' claim to be the way, the truth, the life means that he cannot just be a great moral teacher. He was either, as Lewis said, a lunatic, the devil, or he was God. And we have to make the choice. Which one do you think Jesus was? All other world religions, as we briefly explored, do not answer the question of life as I believe Jesus can. And kind of as I mentioned before, on a more personal note, I myself grew up in a home where I experienced tastes of different world religions, especially one that lined up with Buddhism. this is kind of part of why I'm really interested and super nerdy about this topic. It wasn't until I realized, when I started to dive into world religions deeper, and I went to Bible camp when I was 12, and I was also going to Buddhist Sunday school and stuff like that, and I kind of had a little bit of a conflict. I was experienced both, and as I kind of studied world religions a bit deeper, I started to realize eventually that there was a chance that all religions could not lead to God, and at first it really devastated me. You know, I was like, what about my mom? What about my family? What happens to them? And after I kind of thought about it, and I thought about the things that Christianity claims, that other world religions claim, I'm grateful that I have found my way to Jesus, and my parents and my family has, praise the Lord, because I believe He is the only way to life. And through studying other world religions, my eyes have been opened to that. I do not think that other world religions, as their ultimate purpose, are not to lead to God, or to at least teach that He's even alive. But rather, Christianity teaches that we can find life in the fullest through Jesus Christ. So, with that said, here are two major takeaways from this teaching. So if you zoned out, I'm going to give you the cliff notes again, okay? It says that we need to hear something seven times to really hear it. So I'm looking at you people who've been zoning out. So, the first thing for a takeaway is that no other religion besides Christianity even tries to lead to God. As we've explored, Buddhism and scientism doesn't even teach that God exists, therefore cannot lead to God. Hinduism teaches gods exist, but do not try to lead to these gods. Islam teaches Allah, who is their God, exists, but Islam doesn't lead to God. It leads to an earthly paradise where the person with the most good deeds have the most human pleasures for eternity. Islam also teaches that there is no place for women in the afterlife, which is something we can flesh out another time if you want to talk to me. And then Judaism teaches that God exists, can be reached, but does not believe Jesus was the Messiah, but rather awaiting for the Messiah to come, the Messiah who ultimately puts us in right standing in God. But Christianity teaches us that God, in fact, is real, and He can be reached, and through Jesus we can be led to eternal life in Him, heaven, which is Christianity's afterlife, evidently teaches that God will be among us and with us and will celebrate with us for the rest of eternity. And the second point, this is a pretty loaded one, that Jesus claims to be the only way to God, the only way to eternal life. So if you look at the screen here, there's this thing that says moral therapeutic deism. So there's this new heresy in the church. Heresy, if you don't know what that means, is very incorrect teaching. Does that make sense? Okay, yeah, give me a nod. Yeah. It's essentially that it's called moral therapeutic deism. Can everyone say moral therapeutic deism?
Moral therapeutic deism.
Put that in your back pocket. It sounds super cool if you just pull that out and say that to someone sometime, okay? It's a very big word. It's kind of cool. But moral therapeutic deism, which is a very incorrect teaching, holds to five things, okay? Holds to five things. Number one, moral therapeutic deism believes God exists, who creates the world, watches over human life on earth. Two, God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other as taught in the Bible and by most other world religions. Three, the central goal of life is to feel happy and to feel good about oneself. Number four, God does not need to be involved in one's life except when God needs to resolve a problem, like a genie in a bottle. And good people go to heaven when they die. I'm going to briefly respond to you on these five things. We all subconsciously believe some of these points. I know I do. I'm just going to admit it right now. And so, it's kind of just a thing in Canada that's kind of just starting to stir up. And believing in moral therapeutic deism actually paves way for us to believe that all religions will lead to God. But I'm going to respond to these five points briefly. So the first, we do have a God who created the world. But two, this God is actively involved in our lives. God wants us to be good and to do good, but the central goal of life, according to Jesus, and I really want you to hear this, is not to be happy. The central goal of life is not to be happy. I want you to hear that. The central goal of life is to love others and to love God, right? And we need to take a moment to remember that loving God and loving others doesn't seem to usually make us happy long term. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not usually happy if I'm loving others and loving God, especially if I just go in an argument with someone. I'm like, oh, I'm not happy right now, you know? Lots of times, loving others and loving God doesn't make us happy at all, but rather it brings long-term joy, which we can talk about after. And to the next point, God is involved in our life, not when we just have problems. You see, Jesus in Matthew 28:20 says, "And be sure of this, I will be with you even until the end of the age." The promise of God is if we allow Him to be, He will be involved in our lives. And this is the fifth point. Jesus tells us that if we repent and follow Him as Lord of our life, we will have eternal life in Him. And I want to make a point here. For those who reject Jesus, why would they want to spend eternal life with Jesus? Respectfully, someone who rejects something did it for a certain reason. Now, I wish that a person would never reject Jesus, but they did that out of their own free will. You see, it's only through Jesus and accepting Him as the way, the truth, and the life that we will inherit eternal life and be able to walk through the gates of heaven. But what about good people who've never even heard of Jesus? That's a good question to ask after. You see, it is only through Jesus and accepting Him as the way, the truth, and the life that we will inherit eternal life and be able to walk through the gates of heaven. It is good news that we do not have to create our own religion, find our own way to God, or make a false heaven because God has set a blueprint for us. I don't know about you, but that actually brings me a lot of comfort. Jesus claims to be God and claims to be the only way to eternal life. So those are the two takeaways. And I'm going to give you three applications and how we can really live this out today, okay? And the first is this. I want you guys to ask questions, okay? When we stay ignorant and stay inside our own bubble of thinking, this will get us in trouble in how we think. Asking the hard questions about truth and life are necessary. So this application is simple. Ask hard questions. Ask a question like, why would Jesus want to make a claim like that? What happens to good people who just didn't even hear about Jesus? Where do they go? Or maybe, why do bad things happen to good people? That's the one that I've always wrestled with too, you know? I want you to ask hard questions. And then number two, ask yourself, is Jesus really who He said He was? I want you to take time to think about this. Do you really believe who Jesus said who He was? Do you believe it? And if you do, what are you going to do about it? Because if Jesus says who He really was, I'm going to suggest to you that it has to mean nothing less than everything to you. So really ask yourself, do you believe Jesus is who He said He was? And then the third point. Oh, whoa, that's the first point. What? Yeah, there we go. Okay, cool. If you believe Jesus is the only way to God, hold this with boldness, but yet with humility and gentleness, okay? So for those of you, I would be among one of you, who are convinced that Jesus is the only way to God, we have to hold this with two things. Two things, boldness and humility and gentleness. Two things can go wrong when we're convinced Jesus is the way. We can become very conceited and condemn people hatefully. That is not a helpful approach because it lacks being humble, okay? And then the other way we can go is we can become so scared to tell the truth of Jesus' exclusiveness that it might offend someone. I want you to find that balance of being able to boldly speak about the ways of Jesus, but with humility and gentleness, okay? 1 Peter 3:15 tells us this. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason and hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So, before we go and wrap things up and I conclude this, we're going to enter into a Q&A time. This is your opportunity to ask the questions that you want to ask, and it's also one of the applications to this. So this is your chance to ask questions that you may have, something I might not have been clear on, or something I've missed altogether, and anything's off the table. My policy is there's no such thing as a dumb question, unless you're trying to make it a dumb question, okay? So, does anyone have any questions? That's a great question. So I have an Islam historical study textbook that comes from an Islam scholar. So I try to take it from like not a Christian perspective, but from an Islam perspective. And so that was like the main historical book that I used. And I also studied the Quran a bit too.
So what part of the Quran did it say that women are not?
Yeah, so basically that part of the Quran speaks in pen about like women being less. But essentially, there's like a original word in Aramaic that I believe it was written in that Islam scholars kind of debate over, right? And so there's kind of some debate where that kind of happens, but it seems pretty clear from most Islam scholars that it kind of means that. So that's what I would say. Yeah.
I don't know if this is not really a question, but
sure.
For like Islam, what I've known from family members and it's more like where women are seen as less than is more of a cultural thing, less than a like a religious thing, because there's some books in the Quran or in other books, I forget, Sharia, that that women are seen as queens,
sure,
in their home, and,
sure,
and they have higher. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for sharing your perspective. I appreciate it. We can talk after too, okay? That's not good. Anyone else have questions? Yeah.
For Judaism, when like they don't believe that Jesus is Messiah, do they like believe that the New Testament exists, that it doesn't matter?
Yes. Okay. So even an example like in Matthew, like at the very end of the gospel, there's like this whole like Jesus went away from the tomb, but the guards went and told a false story and they believed it to this day. Like, that's kind of where Judaism originated from. Like, a disbelief of Jesus, right? It's cool. Yeah.
What is your viewpoint on Catholicism?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I think that Catholicism, like, so some people are very hard on Catholicism, especially from a Protestant perspective, if you go to a Protestant church. I think Catholics believe in Jesus, and they believe he's his Lord. I personally don't agree with some of the things that people of Catholicism teach, and just a personal perspective, but I do believe they believe in Jesus, because that's their core belief. So that's kind of what I would say. But it's pretty complicated. But I would say Catholics are Christians, yeah.
For Judaism, so are they saying that people cannot reach God because there is no Messiah?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So essentially, they're awaiting the Messiah. So they're awaiting the person who's to make things right with God. So yes.
So they're still like waiting for like their sheep. Yeah.
They're still waiting for the Messiah. Yeah. We can talk after, yeah. Yeah.
Like I heard somewhere like for Catholicism that they like worship Mary, like how do you...
Yeah, so that's a bit complicated. That's a good question. So it depends which branch of Catholicism, really, actually. So that's an important thing to consider. Lots of people who do adhere to Catholicism say that like Virgin Mary is someone who's very, very significant, and we pray to her, but that doesn't mean we worship her. But it gets a bit complex because I believe only God is to be prayed for and not Virgin Mary. So it gets a bit sketchy, is what I would say. Yeah.
Something to add to that. I grew up in the Philippines.
Yeah.
A different branch of Catholicism, folk Catholicism,
mm-hmm,
where they do actually venerate Mary above Jesus, and Jesus is,
wow,
actually considered like the boogeyman.
That's really interesting.
Like they'll scare their kids with Jesus, like, hey, stop doing that, Jesus will get you.
Hmm.
And so the way to pacify Jesus is to go to Mary, since she's his mother.
That's really interesting.
And so, like, the verse you have to explain to people who hardcore believe in folk Catholicism is,
sure,
often, you know, Jesus is the only mediator.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that perspective. I appreciate that. Yeah, anyone else have any questions? Lots of great questions, guys. Let's go. Two thumbs up. Yeah.
So we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and he leads us to like God and eternal life and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So for Judaism, if they believe that the Messiah is still coming, or like going to come later, then if they believe that if they die, what will happen?
That's a good question.
What do they believe will happen?
So from what we know, is essentially like it depends on which branch of Judaism. Remember, there's three branches of them. But Orthodox Judaism that believes, like, God the Father, like Yahweh, essentially, like, they still have belief in him. But I think the only issue that you run into is that Jesus has made the claim that he's the way, the truth, the life, right? So we have to reconcile it with the fact that someone who adheres to Judaism is actually going to be rejecting that claim, right? So that's kind of what I would say to that, right? Is that a helpful question? Is that a helpful answer or no? You can be honest with me. Okay, cool. No, that's okay. Let me keep going. So essentially, Judaism would believe that the way to eternal life is through the Father and through worshiping him in the tabernacle, right? Because the tabernacle was the place of worship in the Old Testament. And essentially, in the New Testament, that changes to everywhere. Everywhere is the tabernacle. God, Jesus, is our tabernacle, right? Is that helpful? Okay, cool. I'm glad. Anyone else? Wow, so many great questions. Yeah.
So going just back to one thing that you mentioned earlier for a question, like, what happens if she's never heard of
him? Yes, I'm so glad that you asked that question. Okay, if you brought your Bible, let's open it up. So, Psalm 19, let's go. Is that you, Becca?
It is, yeah.
Dude, that's my next door neighbor when I was growing up. That's so cool. Shout out to Becca, let's go. Okay, sorry, didn't mean to call you out there. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Okay, so it says this. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. So, if that those words just flew through your mind, I'm just going to tell you what it's saying. It essentially is saying that we can proclaim God through just seeing the heaven. It doesn't have to be some preacher talking to you about Jesus per se, right? If we look at the skies and see just how beautiful and magnificent his creation is, we can worship God, right? Including somebody who's never necessarily heard the name Jesus in their life. And then the other one I want to take is to Luke 12. Okay, Luke 12, 48. So if you want to flip there, it's worth your while. So Luke 12, 48 says this. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. Okay? But when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, much more will be required. And so here's how I'm going to interpret this for you. Okay? So, for someone who has never heard, there is less punishment. There's more grace. Right? And then for somebody who has been given much. So, for example, for me, I've gone to Bible college. I'm studying in seminary. I'm speaking to you. I know stuff about Jesus. So, I feel like God's expecting a lot from me, okay? That actually kind of makes me nervous, I'm not going to lie. And so, here's my point. For someone who's never heard Jesus, they will be only punished lightly. And so, I'm not going to tell you what exactly happens to them, because that's God's decision, not mine. But I think that God will judge fairly, right? That's how I'm going to answer that, right? It's cool, yeah. Exactly. And so that verse applies to that too, right? Someone who does not know will be punished very lightly. So my assumption is if you know less, there's lesser punishment, right? That's my assumption. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on New Ageism or spirituality?
Yeah, so my kind of branch of Buddhism that I grew up knowing was mostly New Age, actually myself, so I know quite a bit about it. My perspective about New Age is like, it basically combines the best of the best of the world religions, and I find it unhelpful because what New Age spirituality does is it basically adheres to where our cultural moment's at, and they try to adhere spirituality with it, right? And the problem is our culture is always changing wherever we go. If we study history, it's not really hard to discover that. If we go to country, right? And so New Age spirituality, I think, is basically a spirituality that's kind of been birthed out of our current state of North America. Does that kind of make sense? And so my thoughts on it is I don't think it's very helpful, in my own opinion. That's what I would say. Yeah.
So I have a coworker, and he said he had to pick a religion out of all of them in the world. He would pick Buddhism because it's the most peaceful and less violent and that sort of thing. Is that accurate?
I mean, it's like, it's a fair point. Like, there has been lots of violence within Christianity's history, to be honest with you, right? And so, like, religion is unfortunately something that kind of starts wars. But we got to remember the person of Jesus who never fought back. He went to the cross to die for our sins, right? So that's what I will say. So he teaches that example. But Buddhism, specifically, it does teach peacefulness, but there has been lots of violent riots within the religion of Buddhism. But I say it's like, it's a fair point. Like, I might agree a bit with it, but I think it's more about who the person behind it is, right? And for us, it's Jesus, right? And he was like the most peaceful person ever. So that's kind of what I would say.
So, if my understanding is right, each world religion seems to have its own objective. So we would say, like, Christianity would be to reach heaven, and all the other religions have a different objective.
They do, absolutely.
So then, with that in mind, how do we determine which religion is right? Like, should we be reaching for heaven? Should we be reaching for mere enlightenment? Or, what should we be, how do we determine that?
And that's a great question, man. And so, my question to you is, like, what exactly, and that kind of leads back to, what's the purpose of human life? And I genuinely think, if we think of what the purpose of human life is, I think it kind of amounts it to me to this. I want, for me, the purpose of life is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, right? To glorify God, meaning to follow him, to love him and to love others, and to enjoy what he offers us every single day in this world. And other world religions have objectives and too. So I think if I had to answer that question to you, it ultimately comes down to loving others and loving God. But someone else might answer that differently. But what I'm trying to point out is that not all religions are trying to lead to God. That's not their objective, right? Is that helpful? Okay. Well, you want me to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the problem. I can't answer that question for you because I'm not God. Right? So what I'm going to try to say is this. I think that we have to go back and trace back who the person who created the universe is to tell us what our purpose is. Right? And I believe very adamantly that God, the God of Christianity, Yahweh, his name is, he created the world so that we could glorify him, enjoy him forever, in order that we could love others and love him. Does that make sense? Because we have to trace it back to the origins of who is behind everything, right? And that's how you find to answer that question of purpose. Yeah, man.
For scientism, like a lot of the stuff that we like study in school and stuff, like of course there's some things make sense to an extent. Like for science, like at what point does science become not of the reality?
Yeah, how does science and faith mix together? I mean, you know, I will say this. Like, the most famous Christians say, the most famous scientists that we have, have origins in Christianity, which is pretty cool. So it's only a really recent thing where we separated science and Christianity and be like, no, they can't coexist. But I do think they coexist. I think science gives us some pretty sweet answers on how we can answer the big questions in life, right? And so even a simple one my science teacher is telling me the Earth is 46 billion years old. But people who are teaching the Bible are telling me it's 6,000 years old. How does that work together? And it's a fair point, man. And so here's what I'm going to answer. There's actually quite a bit of theology on how Genesis kind of works out. Theology meaning the study of God. So basically, there's a lot of different ways to actually interpret that, okay? So that's the first thing. So come up to me and talk to me after, because that's a 30-minute conversation. And so the second thing is I will say that they can coexist. And they're not as contradictory as people make it out to be, okay? Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, you got another question?
So, I go to a Catholic school.
Yeah.
And I'm taking Catholic ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And my teacher said that the first chapters of Genesis are stories rather than things that actually happen.
Yeah.
To explain humanity start and fall, right?
Yeah, so that's... Oh, sorry. Just keep going.
And then he claims that our Earth's, history and, its beginning is of science, how science explains it. But then in the Bible, it's just explained to humans because humans learn better in stories.
That's a really interesting thing your teacher said. And so what I was going to talk to the young man who asked me that question behind us was essentially the difference between new earth creation and old earth creation. So there's two differences within the Bible, and it gets a bit tricky. So there's two ways to interpret how the Bible has creation. I think both are within what the bounds of Christianity. So the first is old earth, the first is new earth, which is basically God created the earth in 6 24-hour days, okay? And Genesis is literal, so it would be not what your teacher taught you. And essentially, what happens within that is, 6 24-hour days, and the Earth would be about, 6 to 10,000 years old, okay? The other interpretation, which is called Old Earth Creationism, there is two different ways to see it. I think the best way to see Old Earth Creationism is there's a passage in Peter, and it says, to God, one day is 1,000 years, okay? That's what the verse says. And essentially, it would be that the days that God made the earth have been put into thousands of years, which is super complicated. And so how I answer is God's out of our timeline and we can't even imagine. And so the earth could be billions of years old. So I think Christianity can answer both, but I think you should ask your youth pastor about what you guys are specifically thinking, because that's super awesome and complex that they can answer too.
Pondering that for a little bit, and I was a little bit confused. So I read it, and then I realized it says the evening and the morning for each day. That eliminates thousands of years. It's the evening and the morning each time.
It's a cool thought, bro. Thanks for sharing. Anyone else got... Wow, you guys got a lot of questions. Oh, my. Okay. Who hasn't answered... Put your hand up if you haven't answered something yet, asked something yet, but you want to ask. So you two. We got... You know what? This will be the last two questions, okay? Is that cool with you all? Sorry if I haven't got to all of you guys. I apologize. Yeah.
Okay, so my question is, how do you continue a discussion about faith with a postmodernist thinker and get to the point where they say, well, my truth is my truth and your truth is your truth, and you can't agree? Because you get to this point where it's like you have no axiom that you can work on. It's like, where you're reasoning, you need to agree on something that you can reason other. You can use premises to conclude things from that, but that is kind of like the bottom end where you have nothing left to agree on. So like, how do you continue?
That's a super deep question. Oh my goodness. Good job for thinking that way.
Wow. Lunch money.
Yeah, I know, right? You should come up and teach this class, bro. Okay, so here's how I'm going to answer it. I actually just read two books on postmodernism, so I'm like got lots of stuff to tell you right now. So I'm enlightened, bro. Just joking. Okay, so here's what I'll say. We live in a pluralistic society. So for those who don't know what pluralism is, it basically means that we accept many different beliefs. And that's not per se a bad thing, okay? And so, but with that said, we do live in that, okay? And so where we teach that religious truth is about perspective, right? And so essentially, the first way to come at it, man, is with compassion and grace, right? You got to come at it with compassion and grace for the other person who's not seen eye to eye with you, right? Like, and then the second thing you come at it with it is you come from their perspective. I do think that culture matters. Contrary to what some people say, like, culture does matter to a certain extent. And we have to kind of see what's going on. So in a pluralistic society, we have to reason about Jesus, if that's what you truly believe in, that Jesus is special and he truly claims to be something different. What does that mean, right? And so I kind of work from there and work from experience and kind of work your way there. Because if you just go to level 100, like that question was, then you're going to be like, then they're not going to get it. And they're just going to think that you're just a rugged, like, dude who wants to break down everything that they're trying to say, right? And so I don't think that's particularly helpful. You got to be careful with how you're doing that, right? So that's a good question. If you're looking for books and resources, because that's, like, a super deep question that has a very bottomless well, I can give you some good resources, and we can talk about that. How's that sound? Yeah, man. And last question.
So this is kind of going off of, like, the creation thing being, like, a story or whatever, but I was told that, like, the story of creation and, like, Noah's Ark were just, like, legends, and it's not like the hard facts you're supposed to be looking at, it's more like, what's like, the morals of it, like, what's it trying to tell you?
Yeah.
Like, the creation story is more like, God, like, personally made everything, and he made us, like, everything in his image, and everything is, like, good and holy for him.
Yeah.
And, like, that was, like, kind of, like, the point of having a creation story, just for us to, like, know that we were all created by this God who wants to have this relationship with us. And, like, same, like, with Noah's Ark, it's not, like, the fact that there was this huge flood and somebody built this huge boat to put everything in.
Yeah.
It's more the fact that, like, God's willing to go, like, great lengths to like, save us and to be, like, hey, like, I believe in you. Like, we need to, like, have this relationship. And, like, it wasn't a literal thing because, like, that wasn't the first whatever. Yeah, it's off of, like, Babylonian.
Sure.
These acts.
That's cool. So, yeah, like, you're essentially saying, like, we gotta take, like, what the Bible's saying with a grain of salt, right?
Yeah, like, those, like, in particular, because, like, as I said, like, Noah's Ark, like, that flood story was not the first flood ever recorded. Like, the first flood ever recorded was some 6,000 years prior to that in, like, Babylonian manuscripts.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so the best way to kind of, like, answer that question is, number one, trying to date when Noah's Ark happened is actually a very difficult thing to do, so you can't per se say that, okay? So, like, historical facts tell us that we can't actually really start dating, like, when the Bible started happening until the beginning of Abraham, until there, it kind of left a lot of window of time happening. So that's per se a hard thing to kind of say, but with that said, I kind of get what you're trying to get at in the sense that, like, we got to really focus on what matters, right? 1 Timothy 1 says, focus on what really matters, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, you know? Focus on what really matters, and that's him. Don't get caught up in the small little details of everything, right? So that's what I'll say, that we can sometimes get caught up in these little details, trying to think about everything, but we forget the big picture, right? That God loves you. And I guess I would say to that is, but with that specific question, I would say to really think about that a bit more, because once we start to say that these stories aren't true, but these aren't, we're kind of picking and choosing them, right? We've got to be careful with how we interpret that, right? So it's a good question. If you want to continue to talk about it, though, I'd be happy to chat. So, man, that was a wild Q&A, guys. Take a deep breath. So if you have any concerns about anything that I said, I really welcome it. I hope that this was super helpful for you guys. I really thank you for coming, and just thank you guys for having me so much. I really appreciate it. So thank you, guys. Before we end, let me just pray for you all, and then I'll send you guys back to wherever you're going next. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you for this day and for everything you bring us. As we all together have grappled deeply with these questions about religion and such like that, I pray that your truth will prevail, and God, that you will continue to show us your ways, and that we'll continue to ask the very hard questions in life. I thank you for this group that have just become vulnerable with me and have been able to ask some of the questions that I hopefully have been able to bring some helpful answers to. But most importantly, God, we pray that we come back to what is most important, and that is that you love us. And I pray that we remember that. So allow us all to become less in order, God, that you can become greater, so that we could love you if we choose you. So we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Cool. You guys are free to go. Thanks for having me. Absolutely.
There was some really tough questions that like, I was like, answer this. Yes, like quickly. I don't know if everyone was satisfied with the answer, but I'm glad that we were like,
thanks for sharing, bud. Oh, thanks.
Here are two. This is me.
Did you stop that?
Yeah, I did.
Sorry.
Yeah.